Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Joining me in the studio are three guests. Samantha McMillan is an Ashland teacher, and she's brought along a couple of her students. Samantha has been a KQED media literacy innovator for the past 5 years, and she's passionate about providing students with opportunities to practice media making in their classroom. Welcome to the Exchange, Samantha.
Thank you, Mike.
Joining the Exchange conversation are also two of Samantha's students, Zoe. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Theo, welcome.
Well, thank you.
So, Samantha, let's start with you. Tell me some of your background. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to put yourself in the position of Zoe and Theo. I don't know where you were at that age. I don't know what you were thinking. Give us a sense of what your life was like at their age, and how did you become interested in becoming a teacher?
So I grew up in Illinois, and I had teachers around me. My aunt was a teacher. My grandma was a teacher. And just from their experience and observing how they handled their classroom, it was so creative and interesting, and there was always something new happening. It was very dynamic. And I guess I always kind of remember that when I look back on education and learning and teaching, it should be fun, creative, and interactive experience.
And how long have you been a teacher?
I've been a teacher for 13 years.
And so what is a KQED media literacy innovator?
A media literacy innovator, we are a group of teachers that meet regularly, and we talk about different ways to integrate media making in the classroom and just different strategies to get students learning and thinking about what they consume online and how to create those things and how to amplify their voices.
How would you define media literacy?
Well, typically we think of media literacy as maybe like book literacy, and that's the ability to read or write and analyze. And I like to consider media literacy very similar to that, where it's about the ability to write media and the process of making your own media and developing those skills in order to create something meaningful.
So how do you implement media literacy tools in your classroom?
In this particular project that we created, we used Soundtrap, which is an audio recording tool. And you can also make music on it too, which was really fun. But we design projects around media. So that could be infographics or podcasts and things like that. And we just kind of use student voices and student stories to share out what's important to them.
So what is the Youth Media Challenge?
The Youth Media Challenge, it's a free program open to middle school and high school teachers all across the country. And students, it's a platform for students to share their work. So it's a public platform. It's free. It's students from all across the country. There's all kinds of media on there, podcasts, videos, infographics, mini documentaries. All of the work is by students, and it's published for the public.
How do you get the students so excited and energized to share their interests and their voices?
Well, I tried to tie it back to a personal connection that they have. And I want to make sure that anytime we think about media, make media, that it's always connecting back to their story and what's important to them and the issues that they care about.
And that brings me to you, Zoe. What grade are you in, and what are your interests? What are your passions?
I am in eighth grade, and I play soccer, and I take my schoolwork, like, very seriously, and I like hanging out with my friends outside of school and just trying to be one, like, part of the community.
How long have you lived in this area, and where'd you come from?
I've only lived here for 3 years, and before that, we're in Florida, but we have moved around a lot.
How do you like it here?
I really like it here. The mountains are definitely a nice change from Florida. And I really like snow, so that is really nice.
Well, you got a lot of it recently.
We did.
So, Theo, same question to you. What grade are you in, and what are your passions? What are your interests?
So I'm in seventh grade, and I've always been interested in, like, engineering and sorts of things like that, science, and yeah.
So how long have you lived here, and where'd you come from?
I've lived here for about 4 years, and I moved from Pengrove, California, and all throughout California.
And so both of you have participated in this Media Youth Challenge?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And so these two students are examples mm-hmm. of your class.
Yes. So I have 5 classes of 7th and 8th grade students, and all of us, we completed this project, this Youth Media Challenge, as an assignment. And these are 2 students who participated, and there's some published examples on the KQED website, and we're going to hear some examples of their work.
So tell me about the Youth Challenge. I mean, when you introduced this to your class, just pretend I'm your class. How did you introduce this to your class?
So I introduced it as a way for getting your voice heard, and with a lot going on in the news and with the election, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, students felt confident that they had a voice, and if they had something to say, there was a way to make themselves heard.
Okay, well, my guests are Samantha McMillan, a KQED media literacy innovator, and her students, Theo and Zoe. Both Zoe and Theo have produced public service announcements for the Youth Media Challenge, and we're going to hear some of them, or at least a couple of them. So, Zoe, let's hear a bit of your PSA first, and then get your thoughts on the other side.
Nearly 80% of all Americans 6 years and older participated in at least one sports or fitness activity in 2023. 35% of those people struggle with mental health. So why aren't we talking about it? Athlete mental health is a serious challenge, and more people need to be made aware of the impact it has on performance. I play on the Rogue Valley Timbers premier team for U14 girls. I have OSD. This is where my bones are growing faster than my muscles and my thighs. It's rare to have this bad, especially for girls. Sometimes with injuries, it's hard to keep your good mental health. Sometimes I think I'm lying about my injury because no one can see it. For any athlete, mental health is really important. According to the NCAA, 50% of women's sports said that their coaches don't take mental health seriously. Not a lot of people know that mental health is a big problem in sports. In that same NCAA article, it says that the majority of college athletes don't feel comfortable seeking support from a mental health provider on campus. If you are in a sport, it's definitely plausible that you will get injured at some point. You can't really prevent injuries, but you can control how you handle them and bounce back.
Wow, that was incredible.
Thank you.
My son also plays for the Rogue Valley Timbers.
Oh, cool.
14 boys.
Nice.
So maybe we'll see you out there.
Yeah.
Tell me, what inspired you to make this PSA?
I mean, I know all athletes struggle with mental health, and I was really, like, surprised about how little attention it gets and how many people need to be made more aware of the struggles that athletes go through and, like, how we can prevent it and how we can do better about, you know, having good mental health.
What was the injury that you mentioned?
It's called Osgood-Schlatter, and it's very common, like, when you're going through a big growth spurt. So it's really common between, like, 11 and 13. And it's just really painful whenever you put, like, pressure on it when running. So I wasn't able to play all last season because of it, and a lot of famous soccer players have been through it. So
how does it get better?
Just with time and physical therapy. So, like, I'm better now because we did that in the fall. So yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. You're making other athletes more aware. My boy's going through a growth spurt too, so.
Nice. Yeah.
I appreciate the information, the knowledge that you've shared.
Sure.
So, Theo, you also put together a PSA, and we're going to take a listen, and we'll get back to you on the other side.
Climate change. It probably rings a bell. We humans have been trying to deal with it since the 19th century. It all leads to greenhouse gases, which is due to the increase in carbon dioxide and other pollutants. And this could very well lead to the demise of life as we know it. I haven't really noticed the effects of global warming firsthand, though I do know that global warming has seriously affected places worldwide. But mostly, just learning about what global warming has done, and is doing, has genuinely taken my attention for as long as I can remember. Climate change has been affecting our society and the planet for almost 200 years. If we don't stop doing what we're doing right now, we'll likely have no later than 2050 before we can't stop it. Either way, there are some effects that are unchangeable, and we'll have to stick with them. Some of what is happening is why the sea level is rising. Since measurements began in 1992, the sea level has risen more than 4 inches and is rising. And strangely, in the past 20 years, the ocean has been getting greener. Scientists think that it's coming from how the sunlight reflects off the surface of the water, and is due to the rising population of plankton in our waters. The carbon dioxide and heat get absorbed by the ocean, leading to it dissolving and causing the water to become more acidic. And according to the World Health Organization, global warming is becoming a serious health threat to our society in the 21st century.
Wow, Theo. You got me scared. That was really good. What inspired you to make that PSA?
Ever since I was like a child living in California, I've heard about it and its effects. I've always been interested in seeing how we can help change.
So tell me about the sound effects that you added. Well, how did you choose those?
I went through with my dad. I had a little bit of help from him. And I thought that they fit with what I was talking about.
Well, they certainly add dramatic effect.
They do. Definitely.
So climate change is real, and we deal with a lot of those issues here at the Jefferson Exchange. We have a lot of guests on, guests who have written books, guests who are out there in leadership and policymaking positions, making decisions regarding how do we mitigate the problems that we have in our society with regard to climate change. How do we ensure that our economy and the way we live is resilient to climate change? This is a huge issue. So you are expressing your concern for the greater good.
Yes.
I love it. Samantha, your students are using their voices to elevate awareness of important issues. What's important to you?
Definitely what you heard today and students sharing their voices, that's important to me. As a teacher, I do everything that I can to make sure my students feel heard and they have access to information to help bring awareness to all kinds of different issues and topics in our world and make them feel like they are ready to go on and be an active citizen in our community.
You're empowering them with the kind of media tools necessary to elevate their voices. Why is that important to you?
It's important to me because I want students to see that they have the power to make change through what they say and how they share it and what's important to them. And I just spend a lot of time in my classroom devoted to making content and talking about topics they're interested in and making sure they know that they have a voice and their voices can be heard.
Well, Zoe and Theo, we're almost out of time. I appreciate you both coming to the exchange today. Samantha, thank you for bringing them.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good luck to you both. My guests were Samantha McMillan, a KQED media literacy innovator, and her students, Zoe and Theo, who produce PSAs for the Youth Media Challenge.